Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to have you with me here on this March 22nd day, 2020. We're going to look at what is love. I get more questions about love and the alike, something relating to love, and everything does one way or another. That I thought it would be good to have a program devoted to that. Right now, I'm up at Mount Madonna doing my thing. Starting to do my thing, whatever that thing is. We'll be working on ourselves all this week, working on love itself. And I think it's interesting that these questions come in. It's like I kind of draw it to myself. So anyway, here we are together in love, in life. And I want to thank my sponsors for making all this possible. I am deeply, deeply, profoundly grateful for their kindness, for how they help me sustain this radio program and all the things I do to make Aspire happen. It's very, very important. My work at the hospice and everything that they support, I want to publicly thank them. And I hope that you will help us become even more efficient in our work by becoming a sponsor and helping us, support this program so we can do these programs that you're listening to right now, our TV programs and all the things we do for humankind. And there is a lot, the Batmo Project for the kids. Everything we do for you. And I hope that you will help us sustain our efforts by becoming a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. There you will see support in the middle of the page there. The drop-down menu will ensue, and it will say why support Aspire, and there are some real important reasons why and how we help people. I can't depend on government or just people in general to help. You have to organize and do something out of the box to help human beings. And we all need it at one time or another in our life, believe me. So I'm here to help that cause, and I hope you will help me. If I, you know, here we go into love, and, you know, this is always very difficult for me to talk about, because in authentic love, it isn't a matter of definition. You can't define these things. The things that are most important of the highest, let's say, echelon of our life, the meaning of our life, there are no words for. There's no way to express the meaning of what it is to enter into love. And while most people will say they love people, I will say to you there is more to love than loving people, and there's more to love than loving your clan. You love your kids, your family, because they belong to you. But can you love strangers, people who are very strange, people who are different than ourselves? Is love a matter of preference? What is love? We're going to take a look at some of these things. First question comes from Randy. Randy emails me frequently. He lives in the Midwest. That's what he says. Do you know what love is, Greg? Just curious and wondering, Randy. Randy, anybody who's experienced love doesn't know what love is. I've experienced it, and I can't tell you. I have no definitions, no quantifications, none of it. There isn't a word for it. There isn't a flavor for it. There isn't anything. There is a tone for love, but that is something you have to feel deep inside you. It's a resonating tone, but I can't give it to you. I can't give you a verbal, intellectual explanation of it because it's inexplicable, absolutely inexplicable. And the problem with love is the minute you direct it towards your human body or your human intellect or your whatever to try to define it, you encounter all sorts of difficulties because in all of that, you're encountering chemicals in your body, in your brain, endorphins, all sorts of things. You must know about this. You can read about it on the internet if you want, but I highly suggest you read the book Behave by Robert Sapolsky. I think it's a tremendous book. It will explain so many things about the way we are, the why we are, and what we know and what we don't know scientifically. And it's very, very important. So when you start to ask me a question about knowing love, do I know love? I'm going to say I know human love as Gregory. Okay, Gregory knows a lot about human love. That's all I can tell you. That's what he knows. Now, if you're talking about the authentic me, the I of me, the truth of me, there's a lot more to that. The witness that watches all of this, that is a part of this great love. Now, that's something totally different. And to understand that love, that kind of love, you have to be in another place. I can't explain it to you via Gregory. So Gregory is kind of useless here, and I'm on the radio with you here. And this is a Gregory instrument in my little cubby here doing this radio program, and it's spilling out all over the world. And you're asking me, give you me a definition of what love is. The only way people basically know love is through emotion. And that's all they know. Their body, their DNA produces all sorts of chemicals for this quote-unquote love. And the sad part about most of it is that most people are content with this kind of love. They're content with emotional love. This is as far as they're ever going to go, and this is as far as they ever want to go. So they kind of live in that emotionality of it all. And when they live in that kind of emotionality, it perpetrates inside of them assumptions that they think they know. Assumptions of grandeur, assumptions that being loved and getting love and all of that is you know, the most important thing in life. I long ago learned one thing. It is more important to give love than to be loved. That I've learned a long time ago. And if you want to know what real love is, you have to put that out there. You have to be more interested in the love you can emulate through your lifetime, through your daily living, through everything you do, than be concerned about who loves you. And if I only love you because you love me, then we don't have any love at all. What we have is a mutual admiration society that doesn't really give us any sense of the spiritual love, the authentic love that I'm talking about. Now, are most people content with that? Yes, they are. That's as far as they'll go. That's as far as they want to go. That is the meaning of their life, blah, 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 blah. That is it. And that's the love most people know. And when you're talking to someone, Randy, you're talking to that kind of basic mentality. You're talking to a person who wants to be loved and believes that if people love them, they have love for those other people. And that's a whole psychology. All unto itself, and it doesn't perpetrate anything but the potential for hate. And I know that's hard to believe, but the hate that you see in the world that you probably don't understand or dislike or whatever is all made possible by the love that we endorse constantly, over and over and over again. We endorse this love. This emotional love, and that's as far as it ever goes. So what to say to you? How do I tell you, see how you love, and what keeps you from the journey? That is what the Buddha said. See how you love, and what keeps you from the journey. How do you love? What is the meaning of your love? What is the thing that sustains the state of your love? See how you love. So, if you want an answer, Randy, you have to see how you love, not if Greg loves, but how you love. You have to see how it works in you, what the call to love is, the whole deal. You have to see how you love. Very important. I hope that helps you, Randy. I do. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, there's so many things to the spiritual life. It's so difficult to translate them into words. You can give all sorts of one or two sentence answers, you know, that, you know, watch the observer or be the observer. And then people will say, well, who's the observer? What's the observer? It's very difficult until you really want to know so much that you do hunger and thirst, as Jesus said, for righteousness, the truth, beyond the confines and comfort of the physical body, the logic, the reasoning, all of that. And people will say, well, you know, why would you do that? Why would you get involved in that? And there is a definite reason why, but most people miss it, and it's sad. Okay, next one. The next question comes from somebody named TJ, okay? Does not tell me where they live. Why is love so necessary? I live without it, and I'm just doing fine. TJ. God, you know, if you were sitting here, I'd ask you a dozen questions. You're not living without it. You're living in the bigger picture. You're swimming in the ocean of love. This ocean of existence here is love itself. To think that you're not in it, to think that you're not a part of it, is a real big misnomer. Everybody is a part of it. Adolf Hitler was a part of it. Charlie Manson was a part of it. Greg Penn and TJ are a part of it. We are swimming in it. But just because I or you or anyone else refuses to acknowledge that, refuses to go into it as a direct experience to see the legitimacy of what I've just said and how true it is, doesn't mean it's you're floating along here in this world without it. The mere fact that you picked up a pen, metaphorically, and wrote me or typed this email shows that there is emotion behind it. Why is love so necessary? You say, I live without it. Well, wherever there's emotion, and whether you call it love or not, doesn't matter. That is the block. That is the thing that makes authentic love very difficult, nigh on to impossible to understand. What is love? See how you love, Buddha said, and what keeps you from your journey. So if you're saying, and I'm going to throw this out, if you're saying to me that you're unemotional, okay, and that you have no emotion whatsoever, hence no love, I'm going to ask you then, why would you write me? There had to be some motivational thing in the back of your mind of, I need to know if Greg believes the same way I do. Why would you take the time? There's emotion, anticipation of emotion behind everything we do. And in living in that manner, in this way, we tend to look at our life from very strange and distant ways, and thinking that our mind is the last answer to everything that is challenging our life. We like to believe that our mind can answer all these problems. The mind is the mind. It not only creates the problem, it is the problem. The mind can be, my master said it this way, and it's such a true metaphor. The mind is like the two brothers. The first brother goes into the middle of the night and throws soot all over the windows of the villagers' homes. In the morning, the other brother, the twin brother, wakes up, sees all of that, suspects that his brother did it and cleans the windows. Then the next night, the same thing happens over and over and over again. The mind likes to think it knows. The mind likes to believe that it knows. The mind likes to believe in everything that it can conjure up through thought. You are not your thoughts. And so when a person comes to me or they want to enter into an authentic spiritual practice with me and I lay this kind of thing out to them, they get very, very nervous. They want, it's easier to go do a martial art or something where you are not challenged at all by what is going on. You're not challenged by, you know, the teacher to show you how you really think or what is really going on. People like to believe inside of themselves what they believe without really recognizing what the truth of it all is. You say, why is love so necessary? I live without it. No, you don't. I don't. No one does. Everything that is happening to me here on this planet is happening in accordance with a great love that lives within. This great love takes the form of many different things. And as you begin to understand the things that this love formulates, it formulates the ability to breathe, to live, to have a body even. And we don't try to, shall we say, transcend any of this for the sake of recognizing what real love is, what the real truth is. When we don't try to transcend that and we're not interested in transcendence, then problems ensue. That's when we have the difficulties. So TJ, whoever you are and wherever you are, I would suggest that you drop your idea that love is not necessary, assuming that's what you meant in your email. And if you meant something different, I didn't get it. I'm not that bright, so please forgive me. And to assume you live without love, and I'm going to assume that probably means you don't have anyone in your life that you particularly love, then I would drop all of that if I were you, if I wanted to find out what authentic love is, and I would just be open. I would meditate. I would drop my mind. I would practice a mind that is no longer considering the reality and its authenticity of any thought. I would drop my thoughts as quickly as they arise. I wouldn't take them seriously. I wouldn't take any of my life in the outer too seriously. I would watch what it would be like not to be tortured by thinking, tortured by desire, tortured by assumption. I'd give up my preferences. I would want practicing little bits and pieces here of wanting nothing with all of my heart. I would just get into it if I were you, just to find out what's really going on and what the truth of any given situation is. And once you kind of understand that, once you kind of get involved in that, as you roll along in the years, and it will probably take years because your ego is going to be fighting all of this all along the way, you might find a different perspective coming out of you, a different reality, a different truth. You might find the emotionality of it all being, well, more than you thought it was, and therefore bearing down on your life, making your life less than it could be. And maybe you want to explore that. But I highly would doubt it. I would highly doubt it, because once a person has conformed to their mind and their body, generally that's where they stay for the rest of their life and they never come out of it because they don't want to be called out. And that's just the way human beings are. And that's why the world is the pleasant and lovely place that it has become and is becoming more and more. We are a virus. Believe me, we are. We don't need to worry about the coronavirus. We are that virus. I hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Why is love so necessary? I live without it. So many people do. They all think, I haven't met anyone doesn't think they know what love is. I mean, have you really? All right, next question, last question. What kind of fool am I? Oh, Sammy Davis. Who seeks people's love and gives none. And they want to remain anonymous. This person then goes into how hard it is to find someone to love them and to be loved in general. And it goes through a litany of what is wrong with people in general, all of which are true. I'm not going to get into all of it because it was a long list. All of it was true, and or factual, I should say. And then the what kind of fool am I who seeks people's love? If you want love, it can't be through another person. And if you seek love through other people, it's going to make you vain and bitter. If you seek love, you will become selfish and unkind. You will never understand the meaning of compassion and love. You just won't do it. You won't do it at all. And why? Because everything you said, Mr. or Miss, I'm just going to say Mr. Anonymous, is true about human beings. They they don't want to love. They can't love. They only love their kin, you know? It's the kin. It's what came out of their bodies, the sperm, the egg, that whole thing. And it's what can you do for me? What have you got for me? What is it that you have that I need? And human love is based on human need. And with all of that being said, it's a very difficult proposition to love anyone or to ever realize love. It's just very, very difficult. So I guess you're going to be content with seeking love from people, hoping that you find that perfect person that's going to give you whatever it is you think is perfect for you. And that will be as far as it goes. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, this is going to play out in your life in some very self-destructive ways, and you're not going to be a happy camper. So I can't turn your boat around. I can't even talk to you about turning your boat around. There's just no way to talk to you about it. Not, nada, zero, nothing. How am I ever going to say to you what you need to hear? That a life worth living is practiced in love, and seeking authentic love is the most important thing that a person can do. How am I going to get that over to you? Oh, I'm not going to be able to get that over to you. It's just not something that's ever going to happen. So you're going to go through your life the way you need to go through your life, hoping that there will be someone with some flesh on them that will be able to care for you, love you, and give you whatever it is you deeply want, emotionally speaking. But that, even if you find that person, that won't be enough, because what you're really seeking for is something more authentic, more real, the authentic love, the love that comes not from a body, not from a person, but from love itself. And that is very difficult for people to understand and get involved in. I'm not going to, you know, tread on that with you too heavy, because you wouldn't appreciate it. But you do have to understand, you've set yourself on a journey, and it's going to be an interesting journey you're on. And hopefully you will be awake enough to recognize what is happening to you. I'm out of here. Thank you very much, Mr. Anonymous, and please forgive me. Namaste. Well, here's another weekend. I hope it served you well. I really do. And I hope you'll, if you have a question, write me, greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. I'd love to hear from you. Have a beautiful weekend, and I'll be back next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.